On this episode of Sales Burrito, we will provide you a roadmap to success for anyone who wants to work in a new field, but feels that he or she lacks the experience to do so. You know that change is inevitable and often can be painful to endure. But if there's one thing that we know about great sales engineers, change makes us stronger at what we do. Welcome to Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your host, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of Sales Burrito. Recognize if you're listening to this, it may be a little bit later than you expected. But, you know, one of the things that we've learned in life is that, you know, the only constant in life is change. And, you know, that that old Greek philosopher was right. There's been a lot of change in our lives for me and Enrique, you know, over the past couple of weeks. And really been like a roller coaster up and down, my friend.
Yeah. Listen, better late than never, right? I mean, obviously there's, you know, sometimes we have to take some priorities. Sometimes that life gives us some curveballs that, you know, sometimes we're trying to catch or we don't see them coming. So, but we are back and we're here providing content for you, the great sales engineers that you guys are. But how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. You know, I mean, yeah, obviously, whole new studio behind me here. Yeah, I spent a week moving before and after. You know, a small break for other reasons in my life, and but yeah, no. So I'm all settled in. The dust is settled. The boxes are getting unpacked, and you know, in terms of me moving around, and you've done some proverbial moving yourselves.
I know. I mean, from my side of the fence, you know, it's completely different move from what I was doing in a field that is, you know, a field that I've been doing for a long time, right? Data protection, business continuity, right? And now heading into a field where is a, you know, BI, data analytics, visualizations, AI, ML, right? Stuff that I've known in the past, but it's not, you know, when you're doing 10 years of data protection, and now you're going to do this. It's you know, you have to have that strength to be able to say, you know what, I want to challenge myself on being better, being great at this new field, and not only a new field on what I'm doing, but also from a position perspective. Now I'm, you know, VP of Global Sales Engineering for a company called Good Data. I'm currently in charge of building sales engineers and working with executives within the organization as well as alliances to make sure that we can provide a quality product to all of our prospects for sure. So I'm super excited, super excited.
And I'm excited for you. You know, I think, you know, just having worked with you and watched your career grow, I mean, I'm absolutely ecstatic for you to have this new opportunity. You know, I think, you know, as professionals in the industry, you know, understanding and embracing change, both in our personal and professional lives, is something that, you know, we all have to be able to adapt to. And, you know, being able to take that risk, it makes us better and stronger. And, you know, I think, you know, you stepping out of your comfort zone and saying, hey, look, you know, I want to take on this new challenge. I want to go into this new industry that, you know, it's still sales and SE related, but, you know, it's something that not been in my wheelhouse, you know, that's great. And I think, you know, obviously the industry you pick to go into, probably one of the hottest in the world, right? I mean, data economy is here to stay. AI, ML is driving, you know, everything that we do now, and whether it's from the way the car drives to, you know, the sentiment of whether or not I'm mad at McDonald's for screwing up my order. So, you know, I think you're falling into an industry that's just absolutely going to be great. But, you know, I think sales engineers, you know, we all can benefit from, you know, having a conversation around, you know, that change is good, right? I mean, it's not like we were talking before, you know, the old adage, you know, you graduated high school, took the job at Ford, and, you know, 18, and you expected to be there for 30 years, retire with that pension, and you know, having that life plan that, you know, that was going to be the company you worked for. You know, it doesn't happen that way anymore. You know, there's this natural evolution. And I think if you look at the industry that we're in, you know, there's this change that happens, you know, and whether, mm-hmm. you know, every 2 years, every 4 years, every 6 years, you know, that there's this natural period of grow up or grow out, I call it. And, you know, yeah, I think, you know, we're going to grow sometimes with the company we're at, but other times we're going to grow out. And then, you know, that that grow out is, you know, that impetus to go do something new, right? Move forward.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you know, I would like, you know, one of the things that I want to kind of discuss is, right, obviously the drive, right? The drive for that change, because I think you and the audience has always heard of me saying being comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? You know, I can tell you that, you know, when I started at Rubrik, you know, I was, you know, it was early in the career of the startup of Rubrik, you know, it's obviously a large company and whatnot at this point. And, you know, I can tell you that, you know, working with you at Data Gravity, working before at Dell EMC, being a, you know, an IT director for, you know, for tablets when I was in the consumer, right? I've always been happy with what I do, right? But I've always, in the happiness that I've had comes from, you know, helping hundreds of customers, talking to partners, alliances, mentoring sales engineers, and seeing sales engineers moving up into the career of leading others, right? And knowing and having that satisfaction that I was able to influence or help them learn through that. But then I can tell you that internally, me as an individual, I've always have aspirations to being better at things that I do, right? And, you know, to me, you know, all the people that I've met so far around the world, right, it's been based on the career and based on the specialization that I've had in my career. It came to a point where, you know, at the 4-year mark that I was at Rubrik, that I said, you know, what is the next thing? What is the next thing that I'm going to do to challenge myself, knowing that I've done a lot of different things within the organization? So when Good Data approached me and they show me the, you know, the problem statement and the vision of the product and the services, it was a no-brainer for me. And it was, you know, but yes, while it was a no-brainer, I mean, don't be mistaken, I was scared about it. I am, and I'm currently scared about it, but being scared is good because it allows me to have that structure paranoia to be good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. You know, me, I've always said, you know, be happy with what you do. And if you're not happy with what you do, change what you do. But at the same time, you know, that little bit of being uncomfortable in an opportunity when, especially when it's new, you know, it's kind of we're engineers by design, right? So we always want to solve that problem. And, you know, being a little uncomfortable gives you the chance to go figure out the problem and solve it. And, you know, you're a great tactician. You're going to obviously excel at it. And, the personal growth opportunity for you, again, I think is just amazing. And I'm happy for you.
Thank you, man.
You know, and, you know, people just shouldn't have to be content either. You know, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, you joined a startup, you know, the startups grow, you know, you have to grow too. I mean, you know, the team that's typically launches a startup, you know, that $0 to $100 million team is not the same team that does the $100 to $500 million round. And then the team, the company comes in, if they're successful enough to go take a public, totally separate team. So, you know, those natural evolutions when they change out. And, you know, if you're like me and you love that early phase, you know, you kind of get out when you get going, gets to that middle ground, because, you know, you want that challenge of solving all those new problems again. And, you know, I think, you know, the fact that you're going to go into a company that's been around for a while now, but then, you know, has to make that journey and growth to a public exit company, I think is going to be pretty exciting to watch. And, you know, it'll probably generate a lot of topics for our conversations and our podcasts here in the future.
Absolutely. Now, Dave, let me ask you this, because obviously you've also mentored and hired and, you know, promoted a lot of sales engineers. Do you feel that, is it me only, or do you feel that engineers, when they're thinking that they've mastered the career or the specialization that they're working on, do you feel that they seem as being block in that career and say, hey, man, I'm not going to do anything else but this. You know, what's your experience with change when it comes to sales engineers wanting to do something different?
Yeah, I mean, it falls into two different sides of the equation. There's the I'll call them the mastering persona, where, you know, they get into their, not only to call it a niche, but they get into their specialty and they want to be the best at what they can do, right? So their whole goal in life is to excel and continue to grow and be the, you know, end all be all best person that can do that. And then you have the ones that, you know, are highly driven to learn, but once they've mastered it, you know, they do become kind of complacent or need a new challenge and they have to look and expand. And so, you know, when you're hiring and building a team, you really have to figure out, do you have that hypo person, which is the high potential, you know, growth person that's going to want to do and master everything and then make that as their baseline for growing their career, you know, going from being the frontline SE to being, you know, the team leader, the SE manager up to a director level, and take them through that management track and give them all that breadth of experience? Or do you have the people who is like, you know, I never want to manage people, but I want to be, you know, I want to be the resource. I want to be the ace in the hole when the deal's on the line, and then allow them to become that deep technical expert and support them, you know, enable them and let them become that principal SC or distinguished engineer and let them grow their career that way. So I've seen it on both sides. And really, you know, when you're hiring people, you really got to understand that. And some people, when they're really young, they don't know which one they're going to go. So, you know, that's where the coaching and mentoring has to come in. You have to at least allow them to have the opportunity to see the experiences on both sides of the table and really identify their career path. And, you know, for some, it's just, you know, I'll say there's not the ones that don't have the high drive, then they just get complacent, but then they also then burn out because it's the same old, and, you know, technology doesn't stop in our industry. And so if you're not evolving and continuing to learn, you will at some point age out of that role as well. And then those, the ones that fall off kind of, the role that doesn't keep growing with them, and they grow out of the role that way.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I can tell you that if, you know, good and great sales engineers have that curiosity, right? Whether it is curiosity at the keyboard, being able to actually hands on and be able to try new things, curiosity at watching perhaps LinkedIn posts or watching a lot of trends of topics, you know, like BI or data analytics or machine learning, right?
Yeah.
And when someone wants to change, you know, there's that aspiration sometimes that I believe sales engineers have as well. They said, man, it would be cool if I could do that, right? And what happens is when they start looking at job postings, they'll look at the postings and the qualifications, and immediately they're thinking, oh man, I'm not qualified at that. Like, they'll see stuff like, hey, you need experience in robotics, and you need experience on Python or React or whatever it is. And you immediately take that notion of, man, I can't do it. But if you look at the descriptions closer, what a lot of organizations are looking is that someone that can make a significant impact, and we're talking large company-wide impact on the bottom line, right? And when you're looking at that, I mean, there's a lot of great sales engineers that are doing that today, right? So if you're able to actually bring a different perspective to the bottom line, that helps a lot when actually making a career transition from a different, you know, still a sales engineer, but moving from a different topic of speciality.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, there's obviously some core knowledge that every SE has to have when they're taking on certain types of job roles, but you're right. I mean, these new job descriptions out there, I mean, you know, they want Nirvana, and Nirvana doesn't exist. So you're looking at, you know, kind of all, you know, everything. And it really is a little bit of, you know, here's what we're thinking about, where we want to go. And I think the really good engineers know how to say that I know how to learn, right? And I used to tell this to students I used to teach in college, right? I would tell them, I'm like, you're coming into this class, you know, this is back in the day, right? I'm going to date myself now. We're talking about Nobel, right? And I told the students, I'm like, everything I'm going to teach you is going to be out of date the day you graduate. Because it really is. I mean, the version's going to change by the time you graduate. You're a freshman or a sophomore in college. You're going to graduate a senior. That version's 2-3 years old. You know, if I teach you right, what you're going to learn here is you're going to learn how to learn. Right. So if you know how to learn, you can always go find the answer. And, you know, I think a really good engineer and really good sales engineer is somebody who understands that they have to grok it enough to be able to talk to it. And then when they need to go solve it, they go solve for the problem. And, you know, so those people who can continuously evolate or evolutionalize and learn kind of on the fly are the ones that will adapt. And then you really, you know, the job description is saying, hey, look, this is the stuff that you're going to have to go learn and master, you know, not necessarily master, but learn and understand. And, you know, depending on the type of role, obviously they may want mastery, but it's typically relevance to it. And if you can have relevance to it and you can sell to it, you know, and in the sales engineering world, you typically have a job. And it's those people that are evolving there, but you got to have that kind of the vision to dream it. And so, you know, I agree with you. You know, when you're looking at you know, that next step, you know, dream about the art of possible, and then, you know, stretch for it. I mean, and you know, if you always go to say, I'm not going to take on that responsibility or try to go get that job until I have all those skills, you honestly, you're always going to be on the eight ball, because technology moves way too fast today to ever master a skill to a point where you could get there in time to, you know, kind of be in the front of the wave of the curve, the next path.
That's a very powerful statement, what you just said, right? Because to your point, it's like, you cannot take that waterfall effect of if this and that. You'll constantly have to be diving into different things, right? To your point, if you're just waiting for one thing, you're going to be on the eight ball. So I love that statement a lot. I will say the other thing that helps, right, is as you're moving into that new field of speciality, you know, take it upon yourself. Again, if you want it, you have to go get it, which means that you have to, you know, take time to read as many books as you can, make sure you're taking classes online, all that kind of stuff, and also read frequent blogs about the latest industry news. Now, to land the job, right, certainly you have to express admiration for what the company is doing. Right. And to have that admiration, right, you can match that to show the value by identifying the possible improvements that you as a sales engineer can bring to that new organization. And I can tell you that for me, when I made the decision to move to my current role, I had the opportunity to play with the product. I had the opportunity to create mockups, be able to do different things that allowed me to then get excited about the product line for sure.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, I mean, and obviously today's world, SaaS solutions, you know, you can get a free trial, you know, obviously, you know, become a little bit of a tech, get a little bit of a hands-on experience before you even walk in for that first interview, which, you know, I think is a great opportunity if you can pull that off. But, you know, I agree with you. I mean, you know, I read tons of blogs. I mean, I'm always consuming kind of the emerging news feeds. You know, honestly, reading a book about a topic that it's a hot career today, book's probably not written yet, right? I mean, if you're doing it right, you're on the wave, and, you know, it's really kind of happening in real time. But, you know, I think, you know, if you get that alignment and you have that drive and say, hey, look, I want to make the switch, you know, I think this is kind of where we, you know, the dynamic of the sales engineer's itch comes into play, right? You know, there's that, that period of time where as people start saying, okay, I've got this itch. Yeah, I, you know, I need to look for a different change in my life, whether it's in the current industry I'm in or in another vertical, or maybe it's even a different, completely different outside perspective of it. But that change, you know, happens. And that change, I think, has historically been, you know, in the industry, if you look at people's resumes who kind of go through this life cycle today, you know, it's in a cyclical pattern, and it's almost predictable. It's like, you know, 2 years, 4 years, sometimes it's 6 years, but it's just kind of, you see this pattern. And, you know, I think the old stigmatism, like we said up front, you know, it used to be bad when you'd have a change in your resume every 2 years, something like that. It's now, it's almost kind of the norm. You know, I see resumes all the time, hit the desk, and, you know, it's that, right? And it's those high potential people, because again, they want that next challenge. You know, they stuck long enough to prove themselves out and earn their worth there, but they're on to the next challenge. And so, you know, that change agent kind of happens. And, you know, the challenge of, being on something new is what's driving these people, what's making them hunt to check out, the next opportunity.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that, because that sales engineer change it, right? That it does exist. I can tell you that me personally, I've seen it as well. The 2 year mark, curiosity sets in for that sales engineer. He wants to do something different. You know, at the 4 year mark, that gravitas of wanting to do something different becomes greater. And this is a message for sales engineering leaders, right? I mean, I'm speaking to directors, managers, or VPs. Having the pulse on the sales engineers and understanding those marks are critical.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, a lot of great sales engineers have loyalty to continue to work on that brand. And if you lose the touch of the field of that sales engineer to enable them to be able to do something different within your organization and challenge them to do something, then you know what? It's going to happen where they're going to say, hey, I don't see that there is a challenge for me to make it additional significant impact. So let me move on. So it's super important that sales engineering leadership is tapped in on what the field is doing and in their progression.
Spot on. I mean, yeah, it's probably the biggest change, right? I mean, one of the biggest costs in hiring or recruiting talent is keeping talent. You know, the cost to replace the talent that walks out the door, you got the opportunity cost, you got the retraining time, you got the hiring cost, you're going to pay another recruiting fee. And so, you know, mm-hmm. if you're not watching those pulses, you're absolutely right. You know, you're going to be on the losing side of that change itch. And if that change itch is happening in your organization, you know, make sure there's a place they can go scratch it inside your organization so you're keeping that talent, not losing that brain share. You know,
recruiters know as well, right? Recruiters know that, you know, recruiters, when they're sourcing, right, they know that, hey, you know, this individual has been here for 2 years. You know, maybe I can send a couple of messages to pick their interest on doing something different. So it is to the benefit of sales engineering leaders to be able to be constantly touching the pulse of their teams.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and LinkedIn makes it so easy for recruiters these days. They, you know, they can see exactly who's been there for how long and what times they've changed their job title and moved. And, you know, it's just, it's the gift and the curse, I think, of maybe the social networking side of job management, job networking there. But, you know, it really, I mean, you know, at some point you're going to choose your career and, you know, you're going to have to tell your boss, you know, I'm not being challenged enough or I'm bored. And, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully you have that kind of relationship with your manager where you can have that conversation and be honest and open front with it. Because if you don't, then, you know, on either they're not watching you and they're not managing their team right, or, you know, you're feeling disconnected, not getting any kind of sense of ownership or belonging in the organization. And then you're going to you're going to make that decision to leave the organization. And, you know, that tendency to gravitate somewhere else, you know, it's going to happen naturally. And so, you know, I think, you know, just having been on both sides of the equation, you know, personally in my career and having people, you know, both, you know, come to me saying, hey, look, Dave, you know, it's been great working for you, but, you know, I'm looking for the next challenge. You know, I always try to, you know, understand, are they leaving because I wasn't challenging them enough? They really, you know, are ready for that growth out pattern. And we just don't have the opportunity path for them, or, you know, do they need to move on? And you know, I'm all encouraging them for it. You know, it's the right thing for them. You know, I will never stand in any ways, buddy's way moving forward in their career. And I think that's something, you know, anybody who's worked for me knows that, yeah, I'm probably their biggest cheerleader if it's the right move for them.
That is true. That is true. I will say to close it up, you know, sales engineers, you know, if, you know, life is going to throw curveballs, and the way that we adapt to those is be able to actually embrace the change and be able to understand that, yeah, there's going to be a period where, you know, your dissolution or mourns the change, or you don't know what to do. But if there's one thing that I've learned and, you know, throughout my career is that if it frightens you, you have to do it. And by being able to have that mentality of be able to actually face new challenges is going to make you a better person, is going to make you a better sales engineer in anything that you do in the field.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. And that's a great way to, I think, to kind of unwrap this episode. But, you know, I mean, one of the things, again, constants has changed, but one of the things we're going to try to be back on path is our delivery of our podcast. So, you know, while we took the 2-week hiatus there, we have a robust schedule plan for the rest of the year. And again, yeah, mm-hmm. while we're dropping this episode a little later in the week, we are going back to Wednesday release schedules. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got some interesting things planned. This is going to be wrapping season one here over the next 2 weeks. And then as we get into season two, we'll have more guests joining us. And we are going to kind of expand our footprint a little bit to be able to bring in more micro segments as well, helping you deep dive, a certain topic you can consume in faster fashion. We're going to call those, knowledge chips and drop those on a weekly basis as well. Again, you can listen to us anywhere you get your favorite podcast on the platform, also available on our YouTube channel. And you can always stream us live on salesburrito.com. And so until next time, this has been Enrique and Dave, and I'm not even going to chance to screw up.
I am not going to say it. You were saying it.
Yeah. So we're going to keep the knowledge flowing and the, I screwed it up. See,
I told you. Keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing. Have a great day, everyone. Yeah,
there we go. Thanks, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed the Sales Burrito Show. Be sure to subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.